Isaiah chapter 43. We said last night that we wanted to try to share with you in these nights that we have together things that have helped our people back up on the mountain. And last 4 or 5 years, our ministry's changed when we've saw people go through situations and we've tried to find God and try to find a word from God to help the people of God. And then come to find out other people are going through the same things. And there's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, we tried to share that last night. And the actual burden of that message last night, the lady had another test done today, and they think they have found a little bit of a procedure maybe to try to work. And, you know, it's just a day at a time. But what I want to share with you this evening is my day, my burden. And there was a day come in my life when things just turned upside down. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I never will forget going to the study that morning and saying, Lord, you're going to have to help me before I can help anyone else. And just as the Bible and the Lord, you know, always does, He gives you a word. And I want to share that with you tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, if you'll stand with me one more time. In Isaiah chapter 43, the nation of Israel's been in Babylonian captivity. God turned the captivity in chapter number 40. God said it was enough, and now they're headed back to the homeland. You got to understand, some they were born in captivity. They just in 70 years, they just thought that's the way it always was. There were some that were young when they went into captivity, grew up in it, and no doubt some were old when they went in and they died in captivity, but the Lord said it was enough. So in chapter number 40, God turned it, and now they're headed back home. And Israel, they need to be reminded that the Lord still loves them. And we'll see that tonight. But of course, the human penman is the prophet Isaiah. And of course, God speaking through the pen of His servant. And in verse number 10, right in the middle, we'll just jump right in the middle. God told Isaiah to tell Israel, He said, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." And I want to get to verse 13 as fast as we can. The Bible said, "Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" You can be seated. Thank you again for standing. It was almost 3 years ago to the day. It was in, it was the 21st of March in 2021. And I won't go into all the details now because of social media and things like that. I can say this, the situation is getting some better. And, thank the Lord for that. But there was a day, it was a day of days. Like we said last night, it was a day, Brother Ricky, I never thought it would come to my house. I never thought it always happened to somebody else. It was always somewhere else. And I never will forget sitting at a little restaurant in Burnsville, and my daughter's here and her husband, and they know where that little restaurant is. And I was sitting across from Brother Don Sable out of Mississippi, and I was talking to him, and he had a similar situation. And here's what Brother Sable said. He said, "Ministry is born out of misery, but that's what brings medicine. Anybody that's ever helped you, they've been hurt, they've been broke, they've been brought down so God could build them up." You know, Vance Havender said years ago, he said, "Soil has to be broken to bring forth crops, and clouds have to be broken to bring rain, and bread has to be broken to give strength. That alabaster box had to be broken so the smell of those sweet perfumes can come forth." M.R. Dehon said this, he said, "Man throws away broken things as useless, but God takes broken things and uses them for His own honor and His own glory." And there was a day, and that's what I want to try to bring you to this evening. I want to give you a fast introduction, and then we'll get to verse number 13. But of course, Isaiah is telling Israel, of course, as God is telling him, and he's given reassurance to Israel that God still loves her. And God has had to chasten her. God has allowed the Chaldeans
Chaldeans to take her off into Babylonian captivity. But God did that because He loved her. He said in the text that we read, when there was no strange little g god, and because of those little g gods that they went a-whoring after, God allowed captivity to come. So in verse number 10, I see the sovereign revealed. He said, "You are my witnesses." That's a judicial term. It means to be subpoenaed. It means to be summoned. He said, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen." Now, we're not afraid of that word chosen. It means to be accepted. It means to be selected. God didn't have to have you and I, but He chose us. But you and I have got to have God. And God didn't choose us just to leave us and abuse us and to make it the best way we can. He that hath begun a good work, He's going to perform that work. And now I am a responsibility of God. That has set in on me the last few months. I didn't start this. He did. He began it. He saved me, and I'm His responsibility. So He said, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen." And right off the bat in verse number 10, He said, "That ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He." That word "know," it means to learn by seeing. And Israel had known God to be God, but things can happen and it blinds our memory. It blocks the things that God has done in days gone by. And you, in the youthfulness of ministry, I would be so hard on people because they would not remember what God had done. But when it's right there in front of you, that thing that you're facing, whether it's family or physical or financial, whatever it is, it gets to where it blocks us of everything that God has been and God has done. So Isaiah is reminding them that you may know and believe me. He didn't say believe in me. That's what we did when we got saved. But when these days arrive, even sometimes trust in the Word of God, believing me, believing the Word of God. It gets hard at times to believe. Train up a child when he's young, when he's old, he won't depart. Things like that. The mind can get real mixed up when those days come. And you get to wonder, what did I do? What should I have done? What could I have done? And can I say every one of us could have done more, should have done more, but we can't change yesterday. Don't get bogged down in yesterday. You cannot change it. Tonight's a new night. Tomorrow there'll be another daybreak. He said that ye may know and believe me. He said that I am He. That's His Old Testament signature. About five times in this short text, He writes that signature. I am. He is reminding them that He's still God and that He still loves them. Notice in verse number 11, He's the Savior and the Redeemer. Watch this. I. Now, I told you last night I didn't know much about English. I went to school. We said all that last night. I, that's a repetition of a pronoun. They said you only do that when it's an emphatic statement, an enduring statement. You're getting somebody's attention with what's about to be said. I. It's a strong statement. I am the Lord. He's reminding them again. I am the Lord. I still love you. I still desire you. I've still got the best for you. He said, "And beside me there is no Savior." That word Savior means deliverer and defender and helper and rescuer and preserver. God had allowed that Babylonian captivity. God turned it when He was done and His design was accomplished. But He's reminding Israel that He still loves her. It's as if the one that's being spoken to needs to be reminded that God still cares. Y'all ever heard that song down here? And I'm saying it because I know the answer. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. That's true. And sometimes it's hard to believe we get ourselves in such places. Somebody's being reminded that God still loves them and that God still cares. Notice in verse number 12, He said, "I have declared." That means He announced and predicted future events and every one of them came true. That means He warned Israel of dangers and every one of them came true. It means He declared, He marked out a path of safety like a shepherd does for his flock. And He led and He guided Israel. "I have declared and have saved." Not soul salvation. You only get saved one time. I know y'all got that ironed out down here. But up in the mountains, they think you can get saved and lost and saved and lost. I know y'all got that ironed down. Help us pray. pray about that up there. You get saved one time and you're eternally saved. But watch it. I have been saved many times since I've been saved. Delivered. Rescued. Help. He's helped me many times. Sometimes I wish I could get saved. Soul salvation. It was so good that December night in 1991. I wish I could feel that again. I wish I could hear His voice as audible and as sweet as I did that night. But He told Israel, I have declared and have saved. And I have showed. The only way I can describe that word showed is East Tennessee language, where He said, I've been everything I said I would be and so much more. And He has been that to every one of us. And then He tells them, when there was no strange God, little g, among you, He gave them chance after chance after chance. There again in verse 12, therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. We've seen Him work. You've seen Him work. If you're here tonight and lost, you've seen God work in your life and given you another day of life and health and strength, letting you wake up, breathe His air, come to His house, hear His word. That's just the goodness of God every day in our lives. We didn't read verse 14. I won't read it. If you're looking at it, He talks about there in Babylon. For your sake I sent to Babylon. See, that's how God, when He overthrew Babylon and He broke up their captivity, there was that man named Cyrus. I was reading that, Brother Ricky, and I was studying about them ships at the end of verse 14. On that Tigris River and the River Euphrates, they were selling these ships. They were warships. They were bad-looking ships. And people would see them sail up and down those rivers, and it brought about fear. So what Cyrus did is he dammed up the rivers, and the water stopped, and a boat ain't going nowhere without water. And what was so fearful to them, and what they were so afraid of, it's dry dock now. It cannot do anything. That's the ability that God has in my life, in your life tonight. God turned that captivity. Then in verse 15, again, the last time, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I read that verse just because 2 years ago, I can't even remember where I was at, Lenore, North Carolina, Drowning Creek Baptist Church. You don't want to get baptized there, Drowning Creek Baptist Church. And I was coming down to this verse, and here's what I said. I said, is He your King? When I said, is He your King, there was a man sitting in the back there. He got up, you could tell he got up, he was upset. He got up, and he went out the door. And I'm trying to preach, knowing he got up. You know, in these last days, one of their security men followed him out. I'm thinking, well, are they shooting, cutting? What's going on outside? And I'm trying to preach and trying to keep my mind focused. And we get down to the end of the service, and that man comes back in, and he got saved by the grace of God. You know what convicted him was when he heard the Word of God, when the Bible said, I am your King. He realized and testified that he wasn't God's, and God wasn't His. He didn't know the whole plan of salvation, Romans, Philippians, and all of that. He heard the voice of God saying, I want you. I desire you. I sent my Son to die for you. I'm asking you tonight, is He yours? Are you His? But you see the verse that we've skipped over where I want to finish at tonight. Verse number 13. There was a day. It's been almost 3 years ago to the day. I got a call. Now, I won't go into all the details, but it was a family member, and it was something I never thought would ever happen. And like I said last night, it's always different when it's somewhere else, somebody else's. And we try to pray, and we try to hold them up in prayer, and we try to stop what we're doing. But I'm going to tell you, when it's at your house, it'll be different. And it was everything that I never thought would ever happen. But that day arrived. Has anybody ever had a day? If you're having to think, did I have one? You've never had one. As soon as we read that at the very beginning, before the day was. And it's real simple. I told you last night, my preaching ain't real deep, but it helped me. And I know if it can help me, it can help anybody. I sat down at my study, young man, and I said, God, you're going to have to help me. How am I going to stand? See, I live in a little town. Everybody knows everybody. I mean, we don't need internet. We got two or three people you tell, and everybody knows it before the sun goes down. It's faster than AT&T, Google, and all that. They said all that crashed today. Isn't it amazing? But anyway, these people don't crash. They have the gift of whatever. And it's small town. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I said, how am I going to stand up before our church? Everybody knew. How am I going to preach? Then I started saying, well, you know, the Lord opens up meetings like this. How am I going to go out and preach? And all of this has happened. I'm getting ahead of myself now. My daughter knows who I'm talking about, Brother Eddie Davis. I called Brother Eddie. I told Brother Eddie what happened. Here's what Brother Eddie did. You don't want to know nothing if you don't want. You don't want to know what he's got to say if you don't need to ask him. I told him, and here's what he said. He said, Jimbo, he said, is this about him or is this about you? I said, yes, sir. It had become more about me than it was my own son. And I go down and I get in that study downstairs. And I'm begging God, begging God. Here's what the Lord gave me, and I want to share it with you tonight. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 13. Yea, before the day was. Have you ever had a day? Can I show you that this is 3 years? You see all of this stuff that's been in here? These are all people that I've met in the last 3 years. There's a son or daughter that left. There's a deacon's meeting. There's divorce. We don't like to talk about divorce. There's a husband left his wife. There's a shattering. A shattering. There's physical needs. There's cancer. There's the death of a baby. The thing about it is, and when these days come, they're out of your control. And the one thing, and we're going to see it in just a moment, what you're going to wrestle with is that God knew, but God didn't stop it. My brother, when he died, right the same year my daughter was born, I warred with that. My brother, a great man of God, a great Bible preacher, so loved by so many, and God knew when he saved him how it was going to end. God didn't will it. That was not the will of God. That was not the will of God the way he left this world, but God knew. Thing I wrestled with, Brother Allen, is God didn't stop it. Don't tell me man don't have a free will. You came along too late to tell me the 5 points of anything. God gave man a will. God's not going to override that will. But God knows what man is going to do with that will. But he's not going to stop him. Before the day was, there's an arrival of the day. The day the sun rose on your sorrows. The day your spirit, your senses, they were shattered. The day God enrolled you in that school of suffering. You'd have never signed up for it. Told you last night, one of my dearest preacher friends got that daughter. She's living like a man, taking injections to look like a man. I saw her on the news last year in a big parade in Asheville. I would not have even known who she was had they not told me. I'm talking about when it comes to your house. You know, I tell you, that helped me in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The old writer said the only way you can buy mercy is with mercy. You can't buy it with money. You can't buy it with favor. We might ought to be showing some mercy in other situations because I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about backing up. I'm just saying the mercy you give today might be the mercy you receive tomorrow. The day tragedy arose, tears arrived, torments in your mind, sorrows wrapped around you and they would not let go. Has anybody ever had a day when sin ravished your family, your flock, your acquaintances? Doesn't sickness reveal mental and spiritual limitations? You say, oh yeah, bless God, they ought to just trust them. Why do they say bless God? I hope please don't get mad at me. I don't know why they say that. I don't know where that came from, but I just never have been able to say it. Because it sounds like I used to talk before I got. Anyway, don't get bogged down there. But I ain't going to say. But here's what they'll say that. They'll say, just trust God. Do you not think they would if they could? Well, just pull yourself up. Just have faith. Do you not think they would if they. I'm talking about a day. The day before. But here's what I want to show you. God told Israel before the day was. before there ever was a day, before there ever was a divorce, before they ever moved up and went out, before they ever come in with this heart-shattering news, before the suicide, before the miscarriages, before the deacon's meeting, before the day was. See, God's bigger than we make Him. The Bible said, and I'm not trying to say that to promote any kind of ism. That's how you pillow your head at night. God's not scratching His head. God's not, it's not that He's not concerned, but He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows beginning from the end. And He told Isaiah to tell Israel before the day was. Listen what He said. I am He. There's that signature. I am. I ain't changing. I've always been. I'm always going to be. Before there ever was a day. Before that day in March of 2021. Before that day, my brother did what he did. Before that day of miscarriages and mishaps and misfortunes. Before the first day in Genesis 1:1, before there ever was a time, from eternity past to eternity present, I am He. He's always going to be. He's never not been. He said, I am He. They tell me that's past, present, and future. That's before the day was. That's during the day. That's going beyond the day. It is I am He that'll never leave, never forsake. I am He that'll go with you all the way. Even to the end. See, you don't appreciate those verses till you have a day. You learn them and you like them, but you don't fully appreciate them till you find Him to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There's that statement. He knew the day was coming. Can you understand that? He knew the day was coming. Did He will it all? No. Was it all His? No. But He knew the day was coming. But He never stopped the day. But He's a friend to the child of God. Throughout all that day, He said, before the day was, I am He. See, you get to wondering, is anything real? You get to wondering, is anybody real? David had Ahithophel. Ahithophel turned on him. He had took sweet counsel with Ahithophel. And when it's somebody close to you and things like this happen, you get to wonder, is anybody real? Am I just doing this because I was raised up? My daddy was a Seton. My brother was a Seton. I'm a Seton. They said my grandmother, my daddy's mama, she was a roundabouter in North Georgia. They said she had an affair with some guy named Jesse Pratt. My great-great-great-grandmother on my daddy's side might have been a Church of God. I don't know. But is this just what I do because it's what I've been taught to do? Is that all this is? No. I don't understand everybody and I don't understand everything, but I can go back to December 21st, 1991. And I don't know if this is real or that's real or if they real, but I know one thing. I once was blind, but now I see. I know He did something for me I could not do for myself. He has showed Himself to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He has showed time and time and time again, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Have you ever caught yourself making this statement, brother, where let's pray for somebody that they're away from God? Well, if they're saved, how did they get away from somebody that said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee? They may be taking Him places He does not want to go, but He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, before the day was, I am He. Now watch this statement, verse 13, we're about done, sort of. And there is none, not nine, but none, that can deliver out of my hand. That word deliver means snatch away. There's nobody can snatch away. Boy, I come across this statement, and this is the only original one that I probably got. Have you ever thought this time is the last time? When we left Taylorsville, is this time the last time? When this happened and that, is this time the last time? But do you not remember the last time you thought it was the last time? I'll never preach again. I'll never sing again. I'll never play again. I'll never have Sunday school again. And you thought that was the last time, but here we are in whatever month it is, March of 24, and God's still being faithful. God's still being everything that He said He would be. He said, there is none that can snatch out of my hand. This situation, whatever the situation, as big as the situation, He said, there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I'm going to tell you, if that ever dawns on you, watch what he says. I got to hurry. He said, I will work. Is that what your Bible says? See, I got to ask every now and then because I'm going places and they're starting to use ESV. And I don't use the ESV. I use the Word of God. So does your Bible say, I will work? You know what it means? I will work. That's deep, ain't it? You say, wait a minute, preacher. See, I'm thinking of my own situation. There ain't no way God can bring anything good out of this day. What did he just say? I will work. Is that not what he said? See, it's all boiling down in simplicity. If your situation stops you from letting God be God, you know whose fault it is? It ain't the devil. It ain't the devil's fault. It ain't the world's fault. He said, I will work. I will. Boy, when this day happened in 21, I had to leave. I was preaching in Bogalusa. Brother and I was talking about it. Bogalusa, Louisiana. I drove to Georgia, Bowden, Georgia, spent the night, got up and drove on out and got on 65. There ain't nothing. It ain't never been nothing. Never will be nothing. And that's right. And I'm going through the radio and I'm trying to find something. And boy, I'm getting further away from home and all of that is just so heavy. And I come across this man on the radio. He's telling a story. Can I tell the story? He said, I'm watching that clock. I can't see this one. Here's what he said. He was talking about a young black girl. She was dating a young white boy. She came with child. Her mom and daddy told her, they said, if you keep that child, we're putting you out of the house. The white boy did what a lot of people have done, and he left her. Here she is with carrying a child. She doesn't have it. The baby ain't going to have a daddy. Her mama said, if you have this baby, her mom and daddy said, we're putting you out of the house. You're out. You're gone. She wasn't going to abort that baby. She goes from wherever I was down on 65. She goes up to Memphis. And she's walking around the streets of Memphis trying to find a job, carrying a car seat with the little baby boy. She hasn't even legally named him yet. And she's walking around and she's going from place to place trying to find employment where she can have her baby and try to work. And a man comes by with a gospel tract. I know y'all believe in him. And he comes by with a gospel tract. He presents her the gospel and he told her about a God that loved her. See, all she'd ever known was what a lot of us knew before we got saved. It is a world that uses and abuses and then it leaves you. It takes everything you got and leaves you nothing. And she could not understand that somebody was offering her everything and was asking nothing. And that man told her about Jesus. She got saved on the street. He gave her a hardback King James Bible. She goes back to the place that she's staying. And she's reading her Bible for the first time. And I'm getting the names mixed up now. It was Israel. She hasn't even named this boy. And she opens up her Bible and she said Israel. She said that'd be a good name. And she legally named him Israel. You say, preacher, God can't use nobody like that. The man that was telling that story at that time turned around and he said, Israel, what number are we singing today? He was leading it was in Arkansas. He was leading the largest Baptist choir in the state of Arkansas. I know I'm in North Georgia. I know what Papa and Papa's Papa said, but they ain't nothing and nobody that God can't use. They didn't have a lot and matter and choice coming into the situation. I'm just telling you, I don't know how bad or what it looks like. God said, I will work. I will work. He said, I will. It's his accomplished designs. A lot I could say right there. There's that last statement. He said, who shall let it? Let it. Let it be. Let it happen. The word let, right? See, we got to know what our Bible says. Who shall let it? Is there a question mark at the end of verse 13? Who shall let it? It's a question. The word let means hinder. It means stop it. Who's going to stop it? It can't. God's not going to stop it. He just said, I will work. We know they need it because God is working in them and for them and through them and with them. We know the devil can't hinder it because God said, I will. But you know who can hinder it? God can't do nothing with this situation. God can't do nothing with this. He said, who shall let it? Albert Barnes said, there's no one, man or devil, that can turn it back, hinder it, stop it. And I understand what he's saying. He went on to say, how can the feeble arm of the creature resist the Creator? I understand that. But when I found out that word means to hinder, to turn back, to stop, I know who could in the situation I had in 2021. It was me. He said, he gave us 27 words to say, I will work. I was preaching along these lines up in Dayton, Tennessee, Brother Leland Frazier's. And I tried to share this burden. It was so heavy. Brother Leland was going through it. Brother Davey, my friend's going through it. Brother Stacy, y'all know him, he's going through it. Got about 11 preachers, pastors, evangelists going through it. And I tried my best to pour out what I've shared with you tonight. And there was a lady. There's just two rows at Brother Frazier's. And she got up at the end and she was testifying. And she said, has anybody ever heard of Kintsugi? I ain't never heard of Kintsugi. I don't know who Kintsugi is. So I did what all Baptist preachers do. I Googled it. I said, I'm in the Old Testament. Maybe it's a Hebrew name. No, it was a Japanese emperor. And what this Japanese emperor did, he had a heirloom that had been passed down. It had been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And in the process of time, that family heirloom had become broken. And when it was broke, Brother Ricky, it became useless. See, that's what the old timer said. He said, man just throws this away. You can't use it. Can't do nothing with it. But what Kintsugi did is he enrolled his shoguns. You know who the shoguns are? That's them guys with swords on the bad dudes. They're bad. He enrolled them. And he said, y'all got to put this back together. Family heirloom, 1,500 years in the fact. We got to put this back together. So what they did was they took something that's like super glue now and they fitted it all back together and put pieces back together. But when they brought them back, here's a term I didn't know till I moved to the mountains. Here, it was all gommed up. Y'all ever heard that? It's all gommed up. That stuff had turned, instead of clear, it turned white and it was raised up. He said, no, we can't do this. We can't do this. You know, when you're dealing with somebody or something that's broken, if you ain't careful, it'll cut you. You've never had your heart ripped out till somebody you've loved looks you in the eye and says things that is not them, but it's coming out of their face. It rips you. It'll hurt you. You remember, was it Mark 9? I told you last night there's too much liberty. Is it Mark 9, that daddy that had that boy and that devil would throw him in the water, throw him in the fire? No, that daddy had went through that ever since he was a child. And he pulled him out of the fire. You keep pulling somebody out of the fire, you're going to get burnt. See, when I was dealing with my son in 2021, I said, that's it. I'm done. I'm tired. I got a daughter. I got another boy. Why should I? I'm pouring everything I got. Why? I'm through. I'm telling you, you deal with somebody in fire, you'll get burned. But you know how long I thought that? About as long as I said that. And I remembered God telling me, I didn't throw you away. I didn't say I was through with you. See, anyway, he told the shoguns, we can't do that. He said, we can't. That's all. You can't do that. We got to show it. So what he did, there's one shogun stepped up. He said, I'll take it. He said, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And he took that, all those broken pieces and all of those pieces that were broken. He put them back together. You can Google it when you get home. I ain't lying. I promise you I ain't lying. What he did was everywhere it was broke, he took gold dust and he put it in those cracks. And what was once broken and ugly, and all of them words that we came up with, agam, now it's a piece of art. When she said that, I went back to the room. I Googled it. I went from that week. I went up to Brother Eddie Davis's the next week, staying at Crossville at Comfort Inn. Right across from Comfort Inn, there's an antique store. I went over there with my phone. And I said, ma'am, have you ever heard of Kintsugi? She said, oh, yeah. I said, do you have any of that? She said, oh, no. I showed her on my phone something like this. She said, sir, she said, that starts on your phone. She said, that thing starts at $1,500. and they go up to $7,500. Well, see, I've been around Brother Stennett Blue ever since I've been saved, so I'm writing down preaching material. This is real deep right here, but it's worth more after it's broke than before it was broke. You say, well, I don't, or it comes from one of them other words we ain't saying from the pulpit tonight. Well, I sure wouldn't do it that way. That's why I'm glad you ain't God. Well, I sure wouldn't use that or this. And I know what the Bible says, a little bit about what the Bible said. I'm just saying God chooses things. God takes the simple things to confound the wise. That's just who God is, and that's what God does. I said, $7,500? She said, oh, yeah. She said, she didn't even know I was a preacher. She said, sir, she said, if you keep Googling that, you'll find this. She said, there's no two broken the same. You ever had somebody tell you, I know how you feel? And they may mean well. When my brother died, we're at Crown College. I'm trying to hold my mother up, and they're coming by, and my brother's casket was closed. And my dearest friend, Larry, came by, and he said, Jimbo, here's what he said, and he loved me, Brother Ricky. He said, laugh. And the world laughs with you. That's psychology. He said, cry and you cry alone. That ain't true. The writer of Ecclesiastes said there is a time to weep. And I'm glad we can weep together as much as we can laugh together. We can cry together. There's all of them times in the life. But I'm just telling you, there's no two break the same. No two. When I first did this, this is close to the 100th time I've preached this since 2021. I said, Lord, if you'll give me a new congregation, I want to share what you shared with me. When I started out, I used Blue Willa. I know, North Georgia, you ladies know what Blue Willa is. If my mother-in-law knew that I broke a Blue Willow plate, she'd come from Rock Mart with two switches. But I run out of them, and they're expensive. So I went to the Goodwill. They're in Burnsville, and I found these dark blue plates. Oh, this ain't real either. Please don't. My gun's in the place over there. Please, this ain't real. This ain't 1500. This ain't. I went to Walmart, got a gold pen, made this. But I found these blue ones, just solid cobalt's what they call it. I thought, is that gold going to show up on this like it did that blue willow? And you know what? When I put it on there, it shows up better on a darker background. See, he giveth more grace. You see these places right here? When I broke them places, when I broke those plates, I couldn't find some of the pieces. So when they couldn't find some of the pieces, you know what they did? They put in more gold. I found out in the New Testament, he giveth more grace. You say, preacher, you're just trying to make something up. There was a lady, a man and a woman, Elimelech and Naomi. They went off the land of Moab, and they come out of Moab. She said, I went out full, but I came home empty. She left some places, but thank God he put the pieces back together. He didn't throw her away. And at the end of chapter 4, she's bringing Jesus, that lineage, down through time. Like it or not, Jesus is coming through that lineage. You know what? This one right here, that's a heart. I put that in there for the preacher's wife. That's really for anybody. But I'm going to tell you, if you ever get your heart broke. I've been in church all my life. My daddy was a preacher. I told you all that. If you ever get your heart broke, sometimes it's hard to put it back in. You say, I don't know why they don't jump in, why they don't. You ever had your heart broke? But I'm going to tell you, God can mend broken hearts. On the back side of this, y'all have to verify. You see them black lines? Those are black. I keep them on there, them black ones. That's for us that didn't want nobody to know. I didn't want nobody to know that. You know why there ain't nobody getting help? Because everybody thinks they're the only one. Second or third time I ever preached this, if I said his name, the majority of these preachers would know it. Him and his wife, they buckled out, come down to the altar. And his wife, she's known to shout, and she'll drop the hat to shout. And they stayed in the altar and stayed. We got up dismissed. They're still down there. And I said, sis, can I help you pray? He preached for my daddy. She said, Jimbo, you did not know. She said, our oldest daughter lived with another woman. She said, my husband, the preacher, was preparing her message, her funeral message. We just knew God was going to kill her. I wouldn't tell you where or who she is, but she's one of the greatest piano players in the state of North Carolina now for the local church. You say, well, I don't know if God can hear. Well, it ain't up to you and I. I don't want to be like that. Y'all don't know me well. But I'm just saying it's up to God. And such were some of you. Do we really want to talk about what we used to be? You really want to turn out the lights and start pulling down not just our acts, but our deeds, our thoughts, our intent. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for a second, third, fourth, and fifth chance that we even have part and lot in the matter. Thank God. But here's what she said. She said, Jimbo, she said, we never told nobody. I said, I did not know. She said, we never told nobody. In messages like this. And I've learned what my brother told me years ago. He said, Jimbo, he said, a lot of times you'll minister more in a parking lot, one-on-one, because a lot of things we just don't really want to share. There's no two alike. They're very valuable. They can be used again. They can be used again. I'm stalling because I don't know if y'all can take this, but I think you can take it because I know your preacher. You Google it. Kintsugi got to liken the product, the finished product, that he started breaking them on purpose. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Wait. Did not Peter say that there are some appointed unto affliction? Not sin. You understand what I'm saying. There are some appointed unto affliction. Nobody that's ever helped you has not been broken in one way or another. Can anything good come out of them situations? Brother Wills talked about draws kindness towards me while I'm away from my church, while I'm away from my wife. But he forgot to tell you while I'm away from my grandson. I got a grandson now. And you know what he came through? I can't explain it. They told me, they said, y'all know now. They said, you're going to love them grandkids. I told my son, I said, that's the reason I didn't kill you. You can laugh. We laugh about it now. You say, preacher, that all that's good, you know, but there's a lady in our church, Christina Johnson. She was I've got liberty to tell. She was one bad woman. She took care of people, and I know we're live streaming, but she took care of people that would not take care of their debts in Asheville. She took care of it. She saw that they got taken care of. She could whoop any three of us in here, I'm about sure. She's got tattoos. She got tattoos here. She's got them here. She's got them here. She's got them back here. But you know what? She got saved. See, I don't have any tattoos on my body. I've got them marked in here. Just a smell, just a song, just a name. And boy, I was preaching one day about all, and I'm sure this church, I know that over there, and I'm sure this here. You think about all the preaching that's went on this flat of property here. All the preaching that you've heard. And if it just stays in here, that's not what God intended it for. And I tried to preach about everything that's been poured in us to get it out there. And people come by and they meant well. They said, that's good preacher. We enjoyed it. I shook their hand. They went out. Well, here come Christina. And she's always got her head down. Always. I don't touch women. They got to have a Social Security card saying they're over 80 before I let them hug me. She's always got her head. But what I want to do, Brother Rick, I want to lift her head up. But then I found in Psalms 3:3, there is a lifter up of our head. I want to tell her, get your head up. If God's forgave you, you're going to have to learn to forgive yourself. And she said, preacher, she said, the Lord wants me to go to jail. She's been in jail. She said, the Lord wants me to go to jail. She said, there's ladies up there, women up there in Burnsville in the little jail. And y'all don't know these people, but there's a singing group over there. Every time I think about them, I forget their name. The Edwards family. They're over in Spruce Pine. Esther knows who they are. And they're just an old mountain group. They sing, got a touch of God on them. But the grandma, Miss Anna, if there was a woman preacher, you'd want to book her. She just old-timey prayer warrior. I did not know this. All the years we lived in Burnsville, Sister Anna went to the jail every Monday night and went in and talked to women. You say, I ain't nothing. It will be if it's your daughter in there. Brother Langston, y'all ever know Brother James Langston? He said, don't never say never. Don't never say never. Sister Ann would go in there and she'd talk to them, sing to them, read the Bible to them, halfway preached. I don't know. But Christina said, the Lord wants me to go to jail. That was right prior to COVID and all that, the lockdowns and couldn't. She had to have her background cleared before she could go in. And I was in Tennessee, coming out of Tennessee for a meeting, and I saw her phone number on my phone, and she had been in, and she called. She was a squalling. She said, preacher, I got to go in. She's got them tattoos all over. She said, I got to listen to Sister Anna present the gospel. And she said, Sister Anna, let me say a word. And she said, when I got up, Brother Ricky, them ladies said this in the jail. They said, hey, she's one of us. And Christina got to cry, and she said, no. She said, but I used to be. I used to be. I used to be. I can tell you story after story after story after story. What we might think, like the old writer said, man throws away. And I hate to even think about it. Over 33 years now, how many people I pushed away because they didn't meet my criteria. I wished I'd have known some of this years ago. I could have salvaged probably a lot of people that I pushed away as useless, second class. Old Brother Sammy, y'all said last night you knew him. Old Brother Sammy, anytime we'd sing out of the red by any book we'd talk about streets ago, he said, ain't no streets, there's one street. And I said, you're right, Doc, because I know some Baptists that would put them on second and third and fourth street even in heaven. If you do make it, there's one street and everybody's going to be on that same street. Judgment seat will take care of all that. Before the day was, you might be in a day. You might be there where the Bible says, who shall let it? You might be there hearing the Lord tonight saying, I will work. You might be where I was arguing with the Lord. You're going to work in this? You're going to do something with this? What about Boaz? What about Ruth? What about Rahab? That's just the spiritual conditions. Some are appointed unto affliction. You ever prayed, Lord, would you use me? North Rockwood Baptist Church, years ago, there's about 8 of us preachers just got saved. And we'd go up, there's a Walmart there now. And we'd go up there and get in them woods and pray. And all I ever said, I said, Lord, I don't want my name in lights. I don't have to have my name on no marquee. I said, Lord, I want to help your people. Little did I know the schooling. See, you went through what you went through because somebody needs to hear your story. The altar's open. Would you like to come? Preacher, there's a day. What a day. I never thought it would ever happen. They surely ain't nothing good can come out of this. Well, why don't we let God be God? Why don't we hear God tonight saying, I will? He said He would. He either can or he's a liar, and we know he ain't a liar. What about David? I never will forget Brother Marion Atkinson. He said, you ask a little child about David. Brother Marion said, that child will say, he slew the giant. He slew the bear. He said, he was that great warrior. Brother Marion would say, you ask an adult, what do you think about David? He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Then Brother Marion said, what do you think God said about him? God said, he's a man after my own heart. I don't know what to do with all that, but I sure am glad God's God tonight.